You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
It's time for the ESO Dragon Con Report, a podcast dedicated to help newcomers and veterans prepare for the upcoming annual convention in downtown Atlanta. With interviews, advice, and news from the pros and fans alike, be careful, you never know, you might actually learn something.
Howdy, everyone, and welcome to the fifth installment of the ESO Dragon Con 2013 Special Report.
We have less than 90 days left. Oh, my God!
There's only 3 months left until Labor Day weekend.
Oh, my God!
We have got a lot to discuss. Tonight, we'll be speaking with Dr. Q, the
alternate
director.
Too many, Dan. Too many.
Okay.
Too many. Yeah. Pull it back.
And Tallulah Love.
Woohoo!
The producer of the Glamour Geek Review. And we've also got to talk with Brian Richardson, the co-founder and executive producer of DragonCon TV.
Ooh.
But first, let's say howdy to tonight's station crew. I'm your host, Mike Gordon. And we also have, of course, with us, couldn't do this without him, director Mike Faber.
Never mind. Sorry. That's you. hi, everybody. How's it going?
3 months left. Did we mention 3 months left?
Ah! Okay. I haven't even started on my costume yet. Jesus.
So. Your costume? Yes, I feel so bad for you.
Yes, I know.
Right?
Wah. Yes, I'm going to come as a successful podcaster.
A Hawaiian shirt with a tick undershirt. And jeans. I think you can handle it, right?
And a ball cap. Don't forget the
ball cap.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm gonna have a word balloon next to me.
We're gonna start an army of Mike Gordons.
And of course, I'll have a word balloon next to it saying howdy.
Of course.
Well, as you can hear, we also have with us once again Miss Mary Lou Who.
Hello, everyone.
Howdy. How are you?
I'm really good. How are you guys?
How goes the costuming?
Oh, you know, haven't started.
Oh, and she was giving me crap. Love it. Yeah.
No,
I've only 3 months left.
I've started a little. I have so many ideas. I just really need to narrow it down. But my Judge Anderson costume from Dread is coming along. So I have been working on that. So. That's going to be really awesome.
And of course, we also have with us, now able to tell us if blondes really have more fun, Mr. Darren Noel.
Hi, everybody. What's up?
Yes, the blonde is already fitting in because, you know, he forgot to turn off the mute on his microphone before.
I did. It's kind of cute, isn't it?
It was adorable, darling.
I can play stupid if it gets me past first and second and third base, you know. So, okay.
Is the blonde in preparation for a costume for Dragon Con?
No. The blonde was just because, you know what? I've never been blonde before. Why not?
Why not?
Were you shocked?
Why not?
Legit.
No, not really. I'm still not used to seeing my face in the mirror, though. That's for sure. But
Aquaman.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm hoping to be a runner-up for Gay Lantern this year, I guess. I don't know. So we'll see. We'll see.
But it doesn't change any of your costume ideas.
No, not at all. Why would it? That's why they make wigs and spray paint in a can for your hair, you know. So there are options. There are always options.
Very cool.
Glad it didn't come out orange, you know. So that was my fear of being a really big ginger or something.
a giant Ron Weasley or something?
Worse, like that bright fluorescent orange color, like I'm a traffic cone or something. That was really my concern.
Well, you know, you wouldn't have, even so, it would have been difficult to stand out at Dragon Con, even with that. It's just so many different costumes that it's hard to stand out.
Unfortunately, there's 90 days between here and there. So.
That's true.
He'll have roots showing by then.
Exactly. Who knows what hair your color will be by then?
Exactly.
Well, we've got some just a little bit of Dragon Con news to go over. The dates, the important dates, of course, now you can no longer get your memberships for $100. They are now $115, and they will be $115 for the whole weekend until July 15th. So, and then they go up to $130. So please get, if you're going to go, get your tickets now because they just keep going up and up and up. So there's no reason to wait. Also, June 30th, the end of this month, guest application close. So if you are interested in attending as a guest, I believe they still have some openings left. You'll want to get your application in ASAP. But that's all the dates. And then I also, I found a really cool link on Facebook, a cool group called Dragon Con Hotel Connection. And they posted just this weekend about hotel availability. There is none.
No, it's true.
Surprise, surprise.
Actually, and this should be no surprise, the following hotels are sold out. All five host hotels, that includes the Westin, Sheraton, Marriott, Hyatt, and Hilton. Also the Atlanta Marriott Downtown, the Holiday Inn Capital Conference Center, the 12 Hotel, the Amelia Hotel, the Hyatt Place Downtown, the Hyatt Place Buckhead. Those are all unofficial overflow hotels. However, the following hotels do have some availability. The Marriott Suites Midtown at a whopping $269 a night.
Oof.
The Fairfield Inn and Suites Downtown at $289 a night.
Oof, oof.
The Glen Marriott Autograph Collection, that is $299 a night. The Hilton Atlanta Airport, that's between $249 and $279 a night. The Quality Suites Buckhead Village, that's at $154 a night. That's a downright bargain compared to some of the others.
The Renaissance Inn is $159 a night.
$154 a night, yeah.
Wow. Well,
that's all the way up in Buckhead, dude.
Yeah, that's in Buckhead.
Know, right.
We might as well just crash at Darren's place for that, you know?
Oh, hell no. I'm going to rent my place out for $400 a night at these rates. Come on.
Yeah, right.
Make some money.
Other hotels include the Renaissance Atlanta Midtown. That's $269 a night. The Ritz-Carlton, $649 a night. If you want to do it in, if you want to do Dragon Con in style, that's the way to go. The W Atlanta Hotel Downtown, that is $349 a night. The W Atlanta Hotel Midtown, that's $289 a night. And the Embassy Suite Centennial, that is $419 a night. Now, those are average prices. Obviously, you'll have to call and check and see if they still have some availability. I'm not sure what days they would have. And there's some other hotels in the area. I noticed that they don't have the Hampton Inn listed, as well as a couple others that are still downtown. But the bottom line is, if you want to stay downtown or if you want to stay at a hotel in Atlanta, the time to book is now.
No, I agree with that. But also, folks, if you are coming to Dragon Con, we've said this last year, also look along the MARTA line and such, if you want to find, you know, if you want to stay down by the airport and just MARTA it up. MARTA goes to past midnight.
But not much past midnight.
No.
Right, so. Yeah, be careful.
Be careful about that, yes. But if you want to stay down by the airport, or, of course, most of these hotels that are a little bit further out do have shuttles downtown also, and they will pick you up.
Yeah, you might want to check. I mean, call ahead. Find out if the hotel has a shuttle, because that makes things a lot easier.
Because I know some of the hotels out by perimeter are advertising for Dragon Con people to stay there, and they will shuttle you down.
Mm.
So, you know, I know like the Marriott at perimeter, and also I think the Courtyard and a couple others are, you know, having, you know, Dragon Con goers welcome.
I know in addition to listing the various hotels, the Dragon Con Hotel Connection on Facebook also allows people to list and post whether or not they're looking for a roommate or if they're looking for a room, or et cetera, et cetera. So you can contact other people. Of course, please be sensible when you're trying to arrange, you know, something with a room with somebody you don't know, because that could that way lies madness. But you could also run into a friend for life. So it's one of those coin toss situations, I think. But the DragonCon Hotel Connection is we're going to have a link to that because it seems like it's a nice resource for us. Also, the usual hotel Klingon, DragonCon Klingon, she's always looking for good deals as well. So keep tabs on her blog. She hasn't posted anything recently, but that's because, you know, as we get closer, there's less and less availability. So now it's time to go into, and this is like the big news, because they have been announcing guests like mad over the past, since we recorded our last DragonCon report. Oh. I think almost every other day they've been announcing a new guest.
Oh, sit back, folks. We got a list. Oh, do we have a list. And this is even edited down, folks. You know, if you want to go see a full list of who is going to be at DragonCon so far this year, of course, you know, go to DragonCon.org. And, you know, check out all the guests and such, you know, from all the different venues and all the different tracks and everything. They are announcing them left and right. And I still think there's a lot of big names still to be added.
I would agree.
Even June yet, you know. So I think we have a lot to go. Let's get started. First, of course, the Slants are coming to Dragon Con. It's the first and only all-Asian American dance rock band.
They're called the Slants.
Yeah, they play at MTAC every year. They're pretty fun.
I've seen their stuff on YouTube and it's awesome.
Yeah.
And I definitely think it's really cool. You have Dave and Steve from Ghost Hunters are going to be out. Steve Gonzalez and Dave Tango. William loves Ghost Hunters, so that's how I'm familiar with them.
Some of the biggest lines that you'll see at Dragon Con are for the Ghost Hunters.
Yes.
Even now that it's been on for, 10 years now or so?
Yes.
I was accidentally leaning against a wall at Dragon Con, and I happened to be in the Ghost Hunter line and didn't realize it. And this girl that pulls up next to me because I was, I guess, at the back of the line, the way the line was going. She's like, oh my God, can't you wait for Ghost Hunters? I'm like, is that like a sequel to Ghostbusters? I totally ruined my geek cred right there. And I got the 5-minute lecture. Oh my God, you don't know what Ghost Hunters is?
Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you.
We also have Josh Gates of Destination Truth from Sci-Fi. Or Sci-Fi, sorry. It's not Sci-Fi anymore. We also have Larry Elmore. He is a very well-known artist. He has done work on National Lampoon, Heavy Metal, and Dragon Magazine. Mm-hmm. So it's actually very, very cool stuff. Of course, James Marsters will be attending Dragon Con again.
And he's going to be rocking Dragon Con.
With his band.
Yep, Ghost of the Robot.
Exactly. And speaking of band, Blue Gillespie is going to be attending Dragon Con this year. For those who don't know Blue Gillespie, they have their frontman is Gareth David Lloyd. From Torchwood.
Excellent.
So they're going to also be attending.
Yanto sings!
Exactly. We also have RJ Hattie, who was on Sci-Fi's Face Off, but it's done a lot of special effects and such, which is pretty darn cool. Friend of the show, MB Weston, is going to be coming back to Dragon Con.
Just saw her at the Alabama Phoenix Fest, and she is ready.
Oh, that's very cool. We also have, Lindsay Wagner. You might have heard of her. The Bionic Woman.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, what would the Bionic Woman be without Lee Majors, the Bionic Man?
The Bionic Couple. That's pretty awesome. Lindsay's been doing shows before, but Lee doesn't do a lot of shows. So this is quite special, especially to have them both there together.
I predict that this will be one of the longest lines at Dragon Con this year, folks. I do too.
I think it's going to be awesome.
And you'll probably find me in it.
Yep, I'm sure you will. Mike wants to go up and say howdy to both of them, I'm sure. So, we also have the Mythbusters are coming back to Dragon Con.
And that's of note because it's not just Adam who by himself fills up the entire ballroom. But now we're going to have Jamie as well.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And as a little bit of a bonus, this is not DragonCon related, but the Friday of DragonCon, Mythbusters is bringing their tour, which they've been doing, the Myths Explored, to the Fox Theater. So that's for, you know, all you fans of Mythbusters. Not only do you have DragonCon, but you have less than probably a mile away at the Fox Theater. They have the Mythbusters show on Friday night.
Yeah, and I would bet that means we're going to see the rest of the crew at some point announced. So.
I wouldn't doubt it. Bill Corbett, of course, from Mystery Science Theater 3000 will be attending. He's returning again. Then you also have, this is a real tough one, Garrett Wang is coming.
Seeing as how he's the director of the Star Trek track, yeah, you kind of expect him to be there.
Exactly. Speaking of Garrett, though, his idol, George Takei, is coming back to DragonCon.
Yes. Oh my!
Excellent.
You know, I have a lot of the I have a lot of the autographs from the Star Trek crew, and I've never got around to getting from the original series the helmsman. I've never gotten George's, and I've never gotten Walter's autograph, and I'm kicking myself because I'm thinking, well, George's is probably just is now double the price of what it was like 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Now that he sort of rules the, at least Facebook, you know?
Oh, I definitely think so. Then, of course, the captain of the Enterprise, the original, William Shatner himself, is returning.
Woo!
The Shat is back, folks. Or as he likes to call him,
don't
Denny
say
Crane.
That.
So,
Mary actually, got up close and personal with William Shatner this year.
Was I did. Year? Yes. So, mm-hmm, it was back in January.
Did you get a shot? Or?
Well, I got a photo with him. Does that count?
I guess.
I got a photo with him on an autograph.
Another notch on Kirk's phaser, folks. Yes. There you go.
I mean, it is what it is.
Oh, that's awesome. Then, of course, you have coming to the show for your Walking Dead fans. Michael Rooker is going to be attending Dragon Con this year. Just stay away from that knife hand. That's all I ask, you know?
One of the Dixon boys.
Yes. If one's going to be there, I have a feeling maybe you might be seeing more coming.
Well, Lori Holden is scheduled, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
Andrea from
Walking Andrea. Dead, so. We announced her last month.
Yep. Yeah.
Two people who will not be returning this season. Oh, sorry.
Spoilers. Spoilers, folks.
So they have some time on their hands. Yeah, what are they doing back in Atlanta?
Exactly.
I don't think they left.
And, of course, we also have, you don't hear people saying boo. They're saying Lou. What is Dragon Con without Lou Ferrigno? Lou is coming back. So CFO bench press somebody. It would be awesome. One of the nicest guys you're ever going to meet, though. Really, really nice guy. He'll just sit around and talk to you for a while. You know, we've done that in the past with him. And Lou has just always been very welcoming and such. So glad to see he's coming back. And just announced today, given to us from Mr. Bobby Nash himself, John Glover and Allison Mack of Smallville will be coming to Dragon Con this year.
That's awesome. There are two reasons why I kept watching Smallville, even when Smallville was not so good.
Mm-hmm. So it should be actually very cool. And, you know, John Glover is just known for so much work, actually. Just yes. Smallville.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't think he does a lot of these shows either. So.
No, he's usually busy working as an actor. So this will be huge if he shows. So,
mm-hmm. Yep. You know, remember, folks, you know, even though we're announcing it here, these people might cancel. So.
Yes.
And like we said earlier, though, there's a lot more to come. This is still the beginning.
It's kind of like Hydra. One guest leaves, like two more pop up in its place.
That is funny. That is really, really funny. So that is my guest list for right now. Of course, all of us here will be at Dragon Con, of course. So it should be kind of cool. Be sure to stop by and say howdy. And, you know, maybe Darren will put you up for the weekend. You never know.
Wow, you are going to get him. People are going to show up on his lawn.
I don't have a lawn. I live in the city.
Make him think he has a lawn. No.
Yeah, seriously.
People are going to show up looking for his lawn.
Exactly. So.
Well, I trimmed the bush, so good luck.
This is going nowhere fast.
This is going nowhere fast. Keep going, Mikey.
I'm sorry. You drew the sword, dude. You played the mana card. I got to, go there.
So on that note, thanks, Mike, for all the latest and greatest on the guests. And now we're going to take a few minutes and talk to Dr. Q. And joining us back on the station after a long overdue absence, we have with us Dr. Q, the director of the Alternative History Track, and Tallulah Love, the producer of the Glamour Geek Review for Dragon Con. Welcome back to the station, y'all.
Hi.
Hello. Thanks for having us back.
So, we were saying earlier, 3 months. Does that scare you guys too?
Oh, no. Don't talk to me like that.
just mildly terrifying, yes.
That's not any way to scare our guests, Mike. Come on.
You were yelling earlier, so I only felt it necessary to spread the fear. So, So now we're heading into the down to the wire. How are things going along with the events?
Well, let's see. As of this recording, tomorrow is the deadline for us track directors to turn in any and every large room request we may have, which is a nice way of saying anything that we think will be larger than the track rooms we have been provided for must be turned in tomorrow. And since tomorrow is Tallulah and I's date night, I'm doing that tonight. So I do not incur her wrath.
It is a mighty thing to behold.
Oh, you are a smart man, my dear Q. You are a smart man.
Well, Q, this is your second year as the director for the Alternative History Track. Is that correct?
Correct, sir.
So you didn't, you weren't severely punished enough in year one?
For some reason, I decided to try this again. And I think what the reason was is I did so much and we really tried to do way too much that that I thought I could do it better and make it easier on all of our staff involved if we try at least one more year to streamline it and see if it doesn't kill us the second time as bad as it killed us the first time.
Gotcha. So are you finding that's true, or are you finding that you're running into different things now?
I'm finding that I am very busy with the other things that I do so much that it's causing me some difficulty. As far as setting aside the time I set aside last time. So, but now that I've almost the worst of it is over, I think ask me in July and I think we should be good. We should be in good shape. I'm hopeful.
I heard nothing but good things about, the Alternative History Track last year. So it is to your credit. What worked last year that you're going to do again, this year? And what do you have that's new for this year?
Let's see. What's coming back as I look at the schedule? Our track party, which was wildly successful, is coming back. So the Mechanical Masquerade will be returning, and that will be a whole lot of fun. We are going to be doing, what else is coming back that's important? Our Jack the Ripper panel, which was done on a whim last year, that was so successful we had to take over Wheatonverse track room, and they were kind enough to loan it to us. That's coming back and giving the large room treatment, since now that Ripper Street is out and running, perhaps there's more, and there's actually some treats worked out for that. Some other very few panels are coming back. The self-defense class, I believe it was like a Baryatsu and Kane defense, very similar to what you saw in Sherlock Holmes. They're doing another demonstration because that was a lot of fun. But otherwise, it's a whole new setup. So much so, and actually, I don't think anyone knows this yet because we haven't even finished crafting the announcement. Every year since the track was founded, we had either a steampunk showcase. Last year we called it the Gadgeteer Showcase. That will be closing down. We will no longer be doing it. It was the most popular thing in the Alternate History Track, However, the powers that be really need the big ballroom on Saturday and it just took up a good chunk of real estate. So we're going to do something a little different, and we're getting ready to make the announcement, but I suppose we can break it for the DragonCon report, and I can tell you now. Hopefully we'll have the release posted by the time you get it edited and released, but if not, that'll put a fire under us to do it. But what was once the Gadgeteer Showcase is going to be a bit of a carnival show of some of the best maker and some of the best makers we know, as well as some of the attending professionals like the League of Steam and Hatton Cross Steampunk and all of that. And it's going to be presented to an audience that we will seat and run kind of like a carnival show. We're trying to figure out how exactly it's going to function right now. We're about ready to release it. As for everyone else that was participating in the showcase, we are going to work on doing a special museum-style exhibition in both of our track rooms on display all weekend long. So it's kind of like getting the showcase, but you can do it anytime you walk into the track rooms. And I'm going to be working with the costume track director, Lee Cox, as to get it so that it's similar to the costumes they have curated up in their track room. So it'll be very similar to that, and you'll be able to see it all weekend long, take pictures, see some cool stuff, so that it's whenever you'd like to swing by the alternate history track, they'll be up on display.
Very cool. Very cool. And is there going to be any other change? I know that some of the tracks are changing rooms or changing locations. Are you going to be roughly in the same area?
Same hotel, but we got moved. We are now in the Augusta Ballroom. And when I say the Augusta Ballroom, I mean the entire ballroom. It's been split up to Augusta 1 and 2, which is going to be the main room, and then Augusta 3, which is the smaller room. And as a frame of reference, the smaller room that we now have is only a little bit smaller than our whole track room was earlier. So we have a huge amount of space, two big ballrooms to fill up, and we've got content pretty much running the entire time, so much so that I'm really kind of stressed to figure out what I need to cut in order to fit it all in. And these are some just fantastic content. Something that I forgot to mention that's brand new, we'll be doing a little bit of a costume contest. It's a little different than your average costume contest in that you're not really competing for prizes. You're competing for bragging rights. It's called Biscuits and Bowlers at Dawn. It is high fashion and high tea dueling. So we'll be doing a high tea Friday at 4 o'clock, and during the high tea, the folks' entertainment will be watching folks dueling off with their chosen weapon and costume, to which the winners will be awarded bragging rights, followed by a tea duel, which is hosted by the American Tea Dueling Society, which is an absurd sport for steampunks that is absolutely hilarious to witness.
Wow.
You'll believe it when you see it. It's great.
Wow. And when is that scheduled for?
Friday at 4 o'clock, the Biscuits and Bowlers at Dawn. It'll be quite the event.
Now, does your programming take place most of the day, or does it seep into the evening hours as well?
We run content from not always 10 in the morning. We do open at 10 for a couple of days, but most folks aren't there at 10 o'clock on a Friday morning. But we open at 10 and we shut down at around 2:30 in the morning. And our last panel is at 1 a.m. for a couple of panels for some more mature themed topics. But we run fairly late. We're not 24/7. We do actually close down. Some of us need to sleep. That pesky thing.
Well, that's that's a lot of. And anything else that you have that's new this year?
Well, I assume you've heard of a company called Intel, right?
Yeah.
They're for a while now, they've been working on a documentary through their, I believe it's a Future Tomorrow, there's some R&D initiative that Intel's been sponsoring that is following some filmmakers doing futurist documentaries to help kind of shape what the world of tomorrow is going to look like. And part of that series was called Vintage Tomorrows, which was looking in the past to try to shape how the future is going to be, which was a retrofuturist and steampunk documentary that they've been working on for about 2 or 3 years now. And I'm fairly certain by the time this gets done, it can be announced. But if not, Don't hold it against me, but I'm working on finalizing it. But DragonCon will be the premiere screening of the final documentary, which is pretty darn cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, let's see what else.
That's actually really awesome, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I'm also really excited that we've got the entire League of Steam. They're coming down. They're just a collection of makers, performers, entertainers. Some members of them are actual scientists. Some are fabricators that work on props that you've seen in your televisions and movies and whatnot. And the whole lot of them are coming down, and they'll be scattered amongst the various tracks for certain panels. But we're going to have them all together to kind of introduce folks to what the League of Steam are. And what they're about and what they do. We also have Abney Park performing as part of the con, and we'll probably get them in for like a kind of the world of Abney Park, just explaining that they've got, like, now they have games, they've got their music, they've got books, so there's a lot for them to talk about. And we also have Sherry Priest, who's got the Clockwork Century novels that are really good, and also Jim Butcher, author of The Dresden Files, is also quite popular. He's right now working on a steampunk series, so I would like to see if I can peg him down and have him talk to some of our audience as to what that's going to be about. Because right now, no one really knows other than the title.
That would be very cool. When do you have to have your, I mean, is there a set date that you have to have all your tracks, you know, ready for?
I don't know what the other track directors are, but since the big room requests are due, I like to weigh that against all the other panels I have. So yeah. I'm fairly certain I'm going to be done with my programming by the time you guys wake up tomorrow. I may still be awake, but you know.
It works all hours just getting ready for DragonCon.
And of course you'll have the podcast ready for tomorrow, right, Q?
Oh, no, don't get me started on that. Although, speaking of which, you guys may want to join us for the end of the track. We're going to finish up our track in a bit of a unique way. Rather than do like an end of the line or what have you, we're going to do a 3-hour-long block to kind of finish up our track called like a triple podcast. Like, it'll have a catchier title by the time I got done with it. But right now, it's Alternate History Retrospective. It'll be podcasted by the League of Steam's podcast, which is called Steam Geeks, by the ESO Network podcast, the Ratchet Retrocast, considering almost everyone in the Ratchet Retrocast are members of my staff or members of DragonCon. So they'll be there. And T. Morris and Pip Ballantyne have a podcast of their own called The Shared Desk, where they talk about writing and then their various work and what they're doing, as well as another podcast they do called Tales from the Archive, which is a fictionalized short story audio podcast of various adventures in the world of the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences, which is their book series. So the three of us are going to get together with all of our recording equipment and kind of had a big long block where we're going to have various guests as they come in and out, talk to them about the con, what they've liked, have a bit of a discussion topic for an hour in the middle, and do a whole hour-long Q&A at the end of everyone else's experiences with DragonCon, how it's been, what they've enjoyed. You know, it may start off from alternate history, but who knows? You know, you never know with Q&As.
Definitely. Well, it definitely sounds like you are you've got it going on for your sophomore year as the director.
Yeah, let's get over the sophomore slump.
Exactly. And also, speaking of sophomores, Tallulah, this will be your second year, actually, with an event as well, correct?
That's right. Actually, it's I'm in charge of two events that are involved with DragonCon. I do the Pinups by the Pool party.
That's right.
And I also do the DragonCon Glamour Geek Review. Awesome. So, yeah, and I'm really excited about it. Got some really good ideas this year. So, and that's definitely full steam ahead.
Now, with those events, they were insanely popular last year. I believe the Glamour Geek Review line was just around the block, like two blocks, I think, of a building.
Yes. It's always huge. There's usually, I've been told that room, they allow around 1,000 people in there to see it. Mm-hmm. So it's a big deal. The problems we had last year were that the events before our show ran long. And so our show didn't go on until about an hour afterwards. And those wonderful people still stayed in line and were totally dedicated to seeing our show. And a lot of people would have just left. So it was really touching and awesome to have all of those people who stuck it out and then watched a 2-hour show instead of going to all the room parties, you know. So it was pretty cool. We had our own little party in the room. So
yeah, yeah. Has there been any talk about maybe making the room even bigger, or do you think it just the event couldn't handle that?
Well, sadly, with the way the con works, it's going to definitely be staying in the Hyatt. I think that they are rearranging some of the events so that same issue doesn't come up again, where they had the banquet, then they had Dragon Con After Dark, and then they had our show. So the rumor is that they're going to be rearranging some things. So, but we'll be staying in where we are. It's not going to change. But the other events before us might change around a little bit. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, at least you'd think they'd give you at least like a half an hour time just to buffer, you know, between events.
Right, right. And because we have to do our little sound checks and things. And but, you know, I feel confident that we're going to address it and attack it a little bit better this year, because we have an amazing cast that I've got going on. This time we've got Montague Jacques du Fromage is going to be doing of the Steampunk Funk Bazaar is going to be doing the MC work. And he's amazing. He's not only an MC, an accomplished MC, but he's also an amazing singer and musician. So I'm really excited about that. And then we have Deanna Danger, who's a very popular burlesque performer on the East Coast. She's traveled all over the world as a performer, just to name a couple. And then, of course, the reigning queen of burlesque, Lola Le Soleil, is going to be performing. Mm-hmm. So we've got some big names this year. I'm very excited and very honored that they want to come and perform for our little show.
Yes, that's very awesome. And are they all new to the event, or do you have any
Absolutely, returning? 100% new acts throughout the entire. I have a couple of performers who are returning, but we're still in negotiations with a couple of them. But sure. We do have a couple of familiar faces coming back to the stage, so we're really excited about that too. Awesome. But no repeat acts. They're all brand new.
Sweet, sweet.
So Mike, I assume as you are a fan of all things tiki, you'll be at the Pinups by the Pool?
I was unfortunately not able to go to that last year, but I definitely want to correct that mistake this year. So.
Oh, you should, because this year we're doing a mermaid competition.
I'm there.
And, yeah, absolutely. So we have girls dressing up and posing by the pool in mermaid costumes, but then we also have these amazing girls who just showed up last year with tails that actually go in the water, and they were swimming around in the pool, and it was lovely. So we're actually going to do like a race, and we're gonna basically judge it all on their composition, their costume, and their speed. So wow, it should be a lot of fun. We're really excited about that. And then there's talk of a belly flop contest for the less inclined to wear a fishtail. I don't know. We're still discussing on whether or not we're going to do that.
Gotcha. Well, I have some experience in the belly flop area, so
I think it's a perfect fit at Dragon Con anyway. So I don't think you'll find a shortage of contestants for that one.
I think it might be a little bit overwhelming for me. So yeah, so I'm really excited about all that. We're going to have some amazing photographs, and Dr. Q is going to be providing our music mix for that. So, we're really excited. Yeah.
It may be a retread of last year's music mix. I'm just warning you.
That's okay. There were so many pretty people there. Nobody was paying attention to the music. It was all filler.
It was the pretty people really did make it distracting. I agree.
It was gorgeous. And it's going to all be hosted by New Orleans John again. Same guy from last year. So people will... He's a fantastic MC, and I've worked with him for years. And so it's really exciting to get to work with him on this project.
Very nice. Very nice. And which nights are those?
Now, the Pinups by the Pool is still being negotiated by the convention. So okay. It's either going to be a pre burlesque show party or a post burlesque show party. We still don't know that. I usually don't know that until about a month before the convention, but there is going to be an event page on Facebook, and I'll make sure that that you guys know about that so you can
It
out.
Make sure everyone goes to like the DragonCon burlesque page on Facebook.
Please. and then also the Dragon Con Burlesque Glamour Geek Review is going to be, it's always Saturday at midnight.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
But the line starts Saturday at 10 a.m.
Yes. William who? I just want to see boobs.
That's why we go to Dragon Con. Hello.
Oh my.
Excellent. Yes, I was waiting for it.
Yes, and you know, the boobs might not even be on the men or the women. They might be both.
The boobs might be in the audience.
Exactly.
And for those of you of the audience who enjoyed a certain boylesque performer that got on stage, our Tito Bonito, he will not be returning, much to my sadness. He's moved out to the West Coast to do awesome things in greener pastures. However, I do have some tasty gentlemen who will be donning the stage. So not to worry. Tito's not coming back this year, but I've got some other gentlemen that will be being there for the ladies. So and the men, depending on your proclivities.
I was going to say, I'm like, oh, that might be the real reason Darren dyed his hair.
I was about to say, somewhere Darren just steepled his fingers and said, excellent.
Well, Tito very was cool. Very popular last year. I dare say stole the show.
I have definitely heard, like I said, awesome things about both of your events at last year and the Alternate History Track. It's great that you guys are returning this year, that the first year didn't scare you off. So that's that's very awesome. So, where can people find out about, how to get the latest and greatest news or to be like, you know, to help volunteer?
Ladies first.
Okay, you can check out the Dragon Con burlesque page. It's the Glamour Geek Review. And you can check out the Atlanta Burlesque and Cabaret Society if you're in Atlanta and you're interested in any kind of burlesque activities to warm you up for the con. There is going to be two event pages, one for the burlesque show and one for the pool, Pinups by the Pool, and they will be posted on our Facebook page as well. Dr. Q. Awesome.
Okay, well, let's see. If you were fond of Twitter, we're on Twitter at @decon_althistory, all one word. We also have our website, which is alternatehistory.dragoncon.org. We are on Facebook, both as a group for discussions and as well as for a fan page if you just want to give us a like and just kind of observe the feed when you can. Whatever is your frame of reference for social media or internet stalking, take your pick.
Awesome.
And I am very happy to say that we have redone our Alternate History Track website. It looks really gorgeous, and it also will work on any tablet or smartphone in a very similar format that you see on your computer. So I'm happy about that.
We will definitely have those links on our show notes for everybody to check out who's listening. And just real quick, if in case we want to, you know, prepare for Dragon Con, what are you guys up to between now and then?
Oh, boy. Let's see. Between now and then, I've got five different events in the next 10 days. I'm really not kidding. It's ridiculous. But
now you know why I get so cranky whenever he's like, I've got to cram before our date. Gotta unchain him from the Mac. It's like, all right, that's it. We're leaving.
I'm declaring June 14th a national holiday for Man of Steel. But other than that, no, I'm kidding. Let's see. What were we doing? We've got we'll be doing a show. Oh, wait. Easy way to do it. If any of your listeners want to see out what we're doing between now and then, they can go check us out at the Artifice Club, which is www.theartificeclub.com. We are also on Twitter and Facebook. If you Google the Artifice Club, I'm sure you'll find us, no problem. We're doing a number of events either with other shows, we're doing a pub crawl and photo shoot, we're doing We're going to be heading out to Contemporal. I believe after Contemporal at the end of June, that's about it that we have on our radar until the con. We got a whole lot going on between now and then. And give us a like over there and you'll be up to date with everything we're doing leading up.
Awesome. Awesome. And Tallulah, does that go the same for you as well?
Just check out my fan page on Tallulah. If you don't want to hear all of my daily musings, besides that, I'm at my limit on friends. But if you go and check out Tallulah Love on Facebook, check out my fan page, and I always put my dates up. But yeah, I mean, pretty much it's so many things. I would probably take up an hour of your time trying to describe all of the stuff that he and I do between now and September.
The Atlanta Burlesque and Cabaret, right?
Atlanta Burlesque and Cabaret Society is my little baby, and that's the first Thursday of every month. And I also talk about everything that I'm doing and everybody else is doing in Atlanta as well. That's the one that I feel like people should go to the most, because people are workshopping their acts. They're talking back and forth about how they can improve the community of artists in Atlanta. So it's become a much bigger thing than just burlesque. It's about photographers and artists and performers all getting together and just trying to make a community that's stronger here, like it is in other comparable cities in America. So
very cool. Very cool. Well, thanks again for joining us on the station. We definitely look forward to all of your events. And as more news comes for that you want us to report on, just keep us in the loop.
Oh, we'll do. What if I forgot something and I remembered it just now?
Too late. Sorry.
Oh, darn.
Sucks for you.
Yeah.
P.S.
P.S. On Thursday before the con, when all the kind of locals get together, we actually have programming, sort of. We have a little lounge get-together in one of the ballrooms in the Westin. We haven't been officially assigned which one yet, but it's called the Aether Lounge. It's DJs playing very, you know, lounge, non-threatening music for folks to kind of get together, head to the cash bar that's going to be run by the hotel, pull up a table and some chairs, mix and mingle with your friends. It's for a lot of the folks that definitely want to, you know, hook up and meet and talk, but don't necessarily want to go through the craziness of the loft at Thursday when all the other locals of the Hyatt and the Marriott are getting together, because the Westin at this point is all full up and they had nowhere to go.
Definitely. Thursday is the new Friday.
Thursday is the new Friday. Absolutely.
So, and Wednesday's the new Thursday. Yeah. I think it's going to be starting. I think either if not this year, next year, there'll be events on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Tuesday. My event is roll out of bed, scrape food together, and die. That's my event on Mondays.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you definitely at DragonCon.
See you at DragonCon, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Okay, DragonCon has been called the place or the event where the freaks get geeky and the geeks get freaky. But not everybody knows how to behave in terms of even DragonCon has some social parameters. So as we've discussed in the past, particularly with cosplayers, it is important to sort of know the rules in terms of, basically respecting other people, for lack of any other better word. But there are a lot of people there that don't have social skills, unfortunately. A lot of introverts. And so we thought it might be kind of cool to, at this point, take a little time to develop a guide, if you will, for the socially awkward. And so, Darren, I know you've got some thoughts on the subject.
I do. First of all, let's just break it down to one simple fact. Dragon Con, if you're coming to Dragon Con, you're amongst your people here. Now, there's 55,000 people at Dragon Con. That's overwhelming to people who don't interact with more than 1, 2, 3 people at a time. I know that. I understand that. But the best thing about Dragon Con is there are little groups of people in quiet places you can go find if you want to. So take a breath, breathe deep. If you need to have a moment away from the crowds, you can find it in some of the hotel lobbies, some of the downstairs areas. You can go back to your hotel room for a few minutes, collect your thoughts. Don't worry, that you're in a safe space, okay? First of all, you're amongst friends who understand you as a fellow geek. So I asked the question to a lot of cosplayers, and I would say about 30 to 50. I forget how many, but it was a good sampling. Mostly women, but even some male cosplayers I asked this of. And the question was, how does someone at Dragon Con meet you for the first time without seeming socially awkward or creepy? Now, that sounds like a really simple question, but actually it's not. And I got a lot of different answers that I basically boiled down to a several-step process. Okay, so you ready for this? Usually when cosplayers are out and about, they're in their costumes, the attention that they get is usually, hey, let me take your picture, and they agree, they take the picture, and that's it, and the photographer moves on. Wait for an opening. If you see a cosplayer that's posing, and obviously posing, don't walk in the middle of the photographer and the cosplayer to say something to them. Wait for there to be a break in the photography, and once that's done, then feel free to approach them. And the rule that you want to remember is compliment the costume. Do not compliment a body part. That sounds really simple, but let me reiterate. If you're meeting someone for the first time, you don't say, "Nice rack." You say, "Man, that is a really cool costume. Did you make it yourself?" And that's a way to kind of start the conversation rolling between you and this other person so that you might have something to talk about while there's not all the cameras flashing at one time. Or as an alternative to the costume, you could say, if you know what character that person is dressed up as and you're a fan of that character, you could kind of start a conversation about that character. Oh my God, I can't believe character so-and-so did this in this TV show, or I can't believe that writer wrote your character like this or something, and see if the cosplayer clues into it. Some cosplayers don't dress up as characters that they're particularly familiar with. Some of them just like the costumes. So the costume is kind of a sure thing. The character itself might not be a sure thing, but just go with what you feel at the moment, okay? Limit your time with this person. You just met someone for the first time. Don't drag the moment out, especially if there's that awkward pause. I'm going to recommend that you get business cards. If you don't have business cards, get business cards. Just put your name on it, your Facebook, where they can reach you, your email address, and say, "Hey, it's been great talking to you. You're going to get busy in a minute. Here's my card. If you want to look me up on the internet, feel free to." If they don't have a place to hold it, the card, then just move on and skip the card altogether. Okay? Don't let them, like cosplayers, have stacks of business cards. That would be ridiculous. And whatever else you do, when you leave that interaction with that person, end on a high note. It doesn't take a lot of effort as you walk away to say, "Hey, have a great con," as you're walking away, as they get ready to pose for the next group of photographers. And that's basically it. Wait for an opening, compliment the costume, not a body part, limit your time with the interaction with the person, and end it on a high note. And you know what? These rules work for people in other situations besides cosplayers. You could be standing in line waiting for a panel to start. You could be standing in line at the food court. What you want to do is keep your interactions light and positive. If you're standing in a line and it's going to take forever because the panel's not for another hour and a half, say, "I can't wait to get in to see this guest," instead of, "Oh my God, this line is so long, we're never going to get in there." These are two different things. Positive energy will bring people to you positively. Negative is going to push people away. So keep that in mind. And you might meet someone that may become a friend. You might meet someone that you can have an internet friendship with over Facebook. But guess what? The more you do this, the more likely you're going to find someone you actually connect with. And out of 55,000 people at Dragon Con, I bet you'll connect with someone as a friend. just the odds are there. Would you agree with that, Mary?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you have a better chance of finding someone with your common interests at DragonCon than you do anywhere else. And, you know, they're interested in meeting people too. So you hit the nail on the head.
I did. So if a gentleman approached you with that formula, would that work for you, you think?
I mean, it would work for me as far as like
I'm talking
not
about,
being
this is
freaked
a,
out by that person.
Yes, exactly. This is a first introduction and that's
yeah,
all this is.
Absolutely. Like, I'm not generally interested in, like, that kind of interaction at DragonCon just because I'm too busy, but that would not creep me out. That would be a positive interaction for me.
There you go.
And, so, yeah, the thing about not complimenting body parts is not something that you would think would be a problem, but it is. So that was good.
Yeah, we don't want to make this a guide for hitting on Mary.
No. If you can find Mary at Dragon Con, because she spins around, she's in another costume. So, you know.
Truly, truly. But yeah, I mean, and having those little positive interactions, like, just really builds you up as far as the day goes. And then who knows, you know, maybe later they'll be interested in talking to you again. Like, who knows?
Yeah, you might run into them again. Odds are... there are going to be people at DragonCon you're never going to see. But then I walked past the same Buffy Riley couple 18 times at DragonCon one year.
Wow.
I mean, and every time it was like, Buffy, Riley. And that's all we said to each other. It was just me nodding at them, Buffy, Riley. It became a running gag through the weekend. It was hilarious.
It's very strange how that happens. I don't know if it's just serendipity or what it is, but yes, there are some people, even people that I want to run into, and I never see them at Dragon Con, and then there's people that I see over and over and over again.
Well, that's no way to talk about Bobby Nash. Stop that. So I have some tips for... Okay, so you're at Dragon Con. I have some tips as a gay man to straight gay geek boys out there. Hopefully this will help you to stand apart from the crowd, okay? So we're going to do that now. All right, so clothes. Let's talk about your clothing for a minute. If you're not a guy in costume, the standard male uniform, and it really is a uniform at Dragon Con, is the black t-shirt with blue jeans. Or the message t-shirt, and by message t-shirt, I mean it's got something geeky on it, or it shows off your fandom, and shorts, and regular sneakers and socks. That's great if you want to blend in with the crowd. If you want to stand out and be a little more presentable, you're going to have to get some snazzier duds. So I would suggest wearing something a little nicer if you want people's attention. And you can do this without wearing a costume, believe it or not, just by not wearing a scrubby t-shirt and you know, jeans with holes in them. Pick out a nice pair of cargos or a nice pair of slacks. Pick a polo out. Pick maybe an Oxford shirt that's buttoned up the front. You know, you want to be snazzy? Wear a tie even. People
are
going to be like,
say, who are you dressed as?
Not necessarily. They just might say, hey, you look pretty good. You know, it's different. If you're going to wear the orange puffy jacket and the blue jeans and carry a skateboard around, people know you're in a costume. That's Marty McFly. If you're wearing that white tunic and the tan pants, that's Luke Skywalker. If you're dressed up like a nice guy and you kind of project that feeling out, because I feel firmly that if you dress well, you feel good about yourself, no matter what.
Absolutely.
So if you know you look good, go out. And there are going to be some days when you're hungover, you're like, dude, t-shirt and jeans, and that's fine. But if you want to make a good impression, if you want to meet people, project the best image that you can, and you can't go wrong. All right, we're going to talk about hygiene just a little bit because, oh my God, this always happens. This is the topic that always comes back to Dragon Con, and people are like, do you have to talk about it? Yes, we do.
I wouldn't all talk right about it if it weren't a problem.
Right,
exactly.
People think it's a joke, but it really is.
It isn't. So let's start with the top of the head and work our way down. Hair. get a haircut like 2 weeks before the con. That way, by the time the con gets there, you know how when you get your haircut, it's kind of, it takes like a week or so to settle down. And then after it grows out a little bit, it actually looks really good. That's what you want for the con if you want to look your best. So do that there. If you have facial hair, make sure it's trimmed appropriately. If you're wearing that scraggly beard, don't worry. None of the girls are going to pay attention to you. I've seen it happen time and time again. I've seen guys at the bar going, I can't get a girl interested in me. Well, you look like a hermit.
Like a beard.
So it's, yeah. If you're into beards, that's fine, but trim it up. Make it look good. It should look like, you know, Spartan beard, not Santa Claus beard. You know what I mean? Unless you're wearing a Santa Claus costume, then go for it. You know? If you have hair in other places, gentlemen, that would be up the nose, in the ears, or the infamous unibrow, please trim that. Because I can guarantee you no woman I talked to found that hot at all. Ever.
Nope.
So, let's talk about the breath. Peppermint schnapps is not a breath freshener, people. As much as I have tried to make it, it really isn't. Brush your teeth, especially if you've had like a meal that had garlic or fish or something in it. Brush your teeth. Use mouthwash. Carry gum and mints with you. And that's always a good, you know, icebreaker. Hey, I'm going to have some gum. Would you like some? That just opens up. And if they say no, not a worry. It's just a nice little thing to offer people around you. That's a good way to kind of break the ice. Deodorant is mandatory. Deodorant is so mandatory at Dragon Con. If you've never been, I'm telling you now, you will sweat 5 times more at Dragon Con than you ever do any time during your life, except for maybe a marathon. Maybe. And it just gets into everything. I carry deodorant on me, and I go in the bathroom, and I reapply, like, twice a day. Because and a deodorant with an antiperspirant, please, because armpit stains are not attractive, ever.
And let's also make this clear, body spray is not deodorant.
No.
No.
Axe is not deodorant. Patchouli oil is not deodorant.
Trust me, from somebody who's went into plenty of Grateful Dead shows, I do know that.
No, and wearing too much cologne or whatever is almost just as bad.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you have to shower at least once a day. For the love of baby Jesus, please shower. There's nothing more off-putting than seeing a hot guy and realizing he smells like last week's hamburger meat, okay? It's just disgusting. And you think it doesn't happen, it does.
Oh, God, the worst feeling is being in one of the dealer's rooms or something and being pressed up against people who don't use deodorant and such?
Yes. Yeah.
No. The worst feeling, look. People in the host hotels wait an awfully long time for those to get on those elevators. Please make the journey good for them once they get in there.
And then, of course, there's the crop dusting, which occurs, which is when someone who hasn't washed in days runs through the crowd. And the wind will carry the stench, like the Flash's super speed blur. And you will just see the faces of the crowd instantly change. All right, gamers, we have to talk about it. Nathan Fillion did a funny little sketch about it. It's called Swamp Ass. I'm sorry, if you're sitting for hours on end gaming and you start to get the back sweat because you've not moved in a while, you need to clean that up before you decide to go out to dinner or you decide to go to one of the raves or something, because at some point your pants will fall down. That's Murphy's Law. And when they fall down, you don't want people to go, oh my God, that's disgusting. You want them to go, oh my God, it's huge. Okay? Two entirely different things there. A little cologne, a little, like a bear spritz, is plenty for this crowd. Some people are actually very sensitive to cologne and what's in cologne, and it can be off-putting.
I mean, and that's just kind of a general rule of thumb, like, for your life. Like, anytime you're going to go out, like, you don't want anyone to smell you at all until they're really close to you. Especially when you're in a big group of people. Like, if there's a lot of people around, it just, like, and more than one person does it, it just becomes really overwhelming.
It does. I was actually at a restaurant in Buckhead, like, last week, and a woman came in. Thankfully, it was at the end of our meal, and I was overwhelmed. Like, my eyes were watered. It was that really, really strong floral smell that just crawled up in my nose. I'm like, I can't breathe. I feel like I'm at that section of the Macy's, which is all cosmetics and perfume, and I couldn't get any air. It was disgusting.
Yeah, that stuff is not meant to draw attention to you. You have to get the person's attention before that should matter.
Exactly. Exactly. And then when they get really close to you, with permission, please, oh, you smell really nice. Well, isn't that
nice? And then that's just even more positive.
Exactly. So less is more. If you're in doubt, soap and deodorant. Can't go wrong. Guys, you can't go wrong with soap and deodorant. You really can't. That way you'll smell like a guy, but not like that guy. All right, so manners, social skills, whatever we want to call them. Here's just – we're in the South, and a lot of people come here from different areas. So in the South, we are very big on hospitality. We're very big on please and thank you. Saying ma'am and sir – it's not a term of age. It's just a term of respect for that other person. And it really doesn't matter how old they are. I've called little girls, well, yes, ma'am, you know, just out of terms of respect. Smile. Be polite. It costs you nothing to say, well, morning, how are you? And you're amongst your peers. It costs you nothing to do that. If you get an interaction, great. If you don't, keep walking. You probably had someone to go to anyway. Okay, let's talk about booze for a little bit. Booze can release some inhibitions, but it's important to know your limits. It's important to know where that happy buzz is before you go too far and go into, oh my God, I'm going to be sick land. On the last night of Dragon Con, I passed 5 people on the way to the bathroom at the Marriott, all of whom had to be supported by their friends because they had drunk way too much, had not eaten enough, had not hydrated enough, and they were trying to get into the bathroom before they made a mess.
Oh, dude, do you remember the girl who made it to the garbage can when we were about to record the podcast last year?
Yes.
Oh, yep. And she was projectile vomiting.
Yeah, she was. I can tell you that that is not sexy at all.
No. We actually had to go move where we were sitting. We moved all 20 of us downstairs. I mean,
it's good that she got to the trash can, so points for that. But know where that happy medium is. And if you don't know where that happy medium is, get with some friends and learn where it is. You have 90 days between now and Dragon Con.
That's can be fun, too.
Exactly. That's plenty of time for you to learn, hey, I'm a little lightheaded, and I kind of like this. This is good. Remember our advice from last year. For every drink you have, you need an equal amount of water to keep yourself hydrated and to keep that buzz going. Okay?
And that's especially true at Dragon Con because you're going to be so dehydrated already.
Yep. You're walking all day. How many of us do that? None of us. We're geeks.
Right. Exactly.
We're in front of our computer. You don't think you're going to be walking all day? Wait till you get to Dragon Con. You will be walking all day. And if you haven't already, now's a good time to start getting on that treadmill and the elliptical because you need to be in training for all the walking you're going to be doing at Dragon Con.
And you're going to be a couple miles a day at least.
Yeah. You think I'm joking? I am not. And your calves and your thighs will feel it after the first day. And that second day will be brutal when you have to walk from the Hilton to the Westin. Because that's all uphill, baby. All uphill. So let's talk about some guys go to Dragon Con specifically because they've heard they can have sex. It's true. Dragon Con has become something of a bit of a party con at night, and people's inhibitions are lowered because of the booze, and the costumes are fun to look at, and their friends are there, and they're having a good time. If you come to Dragon Con specifically for that purpose, you're probably going to walk away disappointed and a little angry. I would urge you to get rid of that idea as your main goal of coming to Dragon Con. Enjoy the con. Meet people. If you get lucky enough to have what I like to refer to as a 20-minute panel, then by all means, enjoy that moment. But that's not on the schedule of events for Dragon Con, and it may not occur. So go into it wide-eyed, open to the possibilities, but don't expect it to occur, okay?
Yeah.
You might get really disappointed, and you don't want to ruin what really is a weekend that you've spent a lot of money on to be there on this one idea. You don't want your whole weekend to be a Porky's film from the 80s, okay? You just don't. But, okay, if you're going to do it anyway, if that is the only reason you're coming to Dragon Con, I do have some suggestions, and these are at your own risk. So please, by all means, go with all the blessings in the world, but we're not responsible for anything that happens here. You can go online, any of the online dating services, and say, hey, I'm going to Dragon Con. Any people going? And just see who shows up in your feed there. You can actually do some looking around. Craigslist always has the missed connections after Dragon Con, which is I find very funny to read. I'm sure during Dragon Con, they have a ton of ads up. So if you want to look for that, there you go. There's some other places on the internet to go. Google it. Find it that way.
Exactly, if no matter what your lifestyle is.
Exactly. If you are into the kinky lifestyles, there's actually a BDSM panel, several of them actually, at Dragon Con. And you can also go on FetLife, which is like Facebook for kinksters. And they have a Dragon Con board up. It's not for hooking up with anyone. It's just so you can meet fellow kinksters because it's such a big organization already at Dragon Con. There are going to be people there into that. If you are LGBT, there is a specific party for you called the Rainbow Flag Party. Look for it on the schedule. It will probably be at the Sheraton. I've not heard if they've changed it or not. We'll find out later. And that is like a 7-hour party, basically, for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, intersexed, queer, questioning folks to just let loose and have a good time. There's also the infamous Anything But Clothes Party. I have never been to this party. I've seen people on the way to this party, and it kind of scares me. But this is a party you have to look for online or figure out where it is, do some internet diving. It's where you can wear anything but clothing. Keep in mind that nudity is not a costume. You must remain clothed. You must remain covered, all the naughty bits concealed. I think I saw a guy wear placemats to cover the front and the back. And you saw a guy with lays last year, right, Mike?
Oh, yeah. We saw someone just wearing a lay and nothing else.
Okay. So,
and it lay was not around his neck. I have to quote that.
Yeah, I figured. So if you're looking for that, well, that's a party where everyone's nearly naked already. So most of the work is done for you. How
not much
that?
Left to the imagination, folks.
No, not at all. You know, so that's basically it. My final words is, if you want to meet people, practice. The first couple may not work out. You might get rebuffed. You might get a little bit of a, yeah, I'm busy. That's okay. There are another 54,999 people at Dragon Con, okay? Don't go into your shell. Find a panel, meet someone in line. If you're in a panel room while you're waiting for the panel to start, talk to the person next to you about the panel topic. Get to know them. This is a chance for you to interact with people beyond the computer screen or at, you know, your job or your family or whatever, who actually understand what kind of a geek you are. Take the opportunity, take a couple of chances. You'll be amazed at what can happen to you. Okay? Okay.
Totally.
Awesome.
Very good advice, sir.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add, Mike or Mary?
Yeah, you know, like for me, and I think for a lot of women, the biggest thing that you can do as far as trying to meet people at a convention is do most of your work ahead of time. Like for me, it's about somebody's attitude. You know, my first split second of meeting someone decides whether or not I'm going to want to continue talking to that person. And I hate, you know, saying that I make a snap judgment like that, but when you're in an environment where there are that many people around and there are that many exciting things going on, like it's going to take a lot for someone to really catch my attention enough for me to want to talk to them for more than a minute. So no,
that totally makes sense though, Mary, because even when you're dating, like go on a date or something or meet somebody at a bar, you're going to know within 2 minutes if you want to continue with this person.
Yeah. And, you know, I think you need to do most of your work ahead of time rather than trying to worrying about what you're going to say or who, you know, how you're going to pick someone out or whatever. Like, you need to think about yourself and work on your attitude and just be you. Like, I have a really difficult time feeling comfortable and, like, not being a crazy weirdo around people that I am attracted to. And that's just something that you have to, you know, practice and work on and really learn to be yourself no matter who you're around. And once you start projecting that kind of confidence, a lot of people will respond very positively to it. And I think that matters so much more than anything you could say. And I think maybe a lot of geeks have a hard time with that, but it ties into what you said about, you know, dressing to make yourself feel better. Like, absolutely. If I have to spend $80 to get my hair the way I want it, it makes me feel good. I don't care. I'm going to do it. If I have to, you know, whatever I'm going to wear makes me feel good about myself enough to talk to somebody I like, then I'm going to do it.
Exactly. And folks, like both Darren and Mary have said, this is a place for you to stand out. This is a place for you to get to know people that have the similar interests as you. If, you know, if it's not romantic or whatever or such, or just place to meet friends, you know, this is the place to do it. These are your people, as we like to say.
Yep. Yeah. And that's very key, Mike, because the more friends you make, the more people you meet.
Exactly.
And the more people you meet, the more likely you will meet someone that you might make a real romantic relationship with, because you never know. You just never know when that's going to occur.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you both. One thing I just wanted to mention real quick, just to sort of flip this around, because in addition to obviously there's a lot of people who are introverted and you know, not exactly full of social grace at these events, and in addition to you know, letting those people know, have a guide, so to speak, I think it's also important to do the flip side as well, that those people who are extroverted or run across somebody who is introverted, there's some general rules of thumb as to handle some of those people as well, to help avoid incidents. I saw this thing online, and forgive me out there if you guys have seen this as well, but I thought it was pretty relevant to our sort of conversation here. And this is real quick, just 12 items on how to care for introverts. Number one, respect their need for privacy. Number two, never embarrass them in public. Number three, let them observe first. Let them first observe in new situations. Don't just, you know, boot swim. Number four, give them time to think. Don't demand instant answers. Number five, don't interrupt them. Six, give them advance notice of expected changes in their lives. Number seven is give them 15-minute warnings to finish whatever they're doing. Number eight, reprimand them privately. Number nine, teach them new skills privately. Number 10, enable them to find one best friend who has similar interests and their abilities. Number 11, don't push them to make lots of friends, or I would say don't push them to do anything that they're not comfortable with. And number 12, respect their introversion. Don't try to remake them into extroverts, especially overnight, especially during the convention. I've seen many people who don't have the patience and the time it would take just a simple word or just a little bit of understanding, and things would be a lot less awkward in certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it goes a little bit of both ways, but hopefully these tips can help some of our listeners avoid uncomfortable situations at this year's Dragon Con. So thanks, guys, a lot. I appreciate that. And now we're going to talk to one of the producers of Dragon Con TV, who has given us a lot of entertainment while we are waiting for guests to arrive and panelists and events at Dragon Con. And joining us on the station now is Brian Richardson, the co-founder and executive producer of Dragon Con TV. Thanks for joining us again, Brian.
No problem. It sounds fancy when somebody else says it.
it's not intentional. But okay. I wanted to it's interesting to talk to you now because I'm wondering how long it takes to produce a lot of the segments that you air on Dragon Con TV. Do you start like sort of the weekend after Dragon Con?
Pretty much. When it started, it's one of those things like a software roadmap, or just gets every year it gets more complicated. Where the first year we did Dragon Con TV was 2002, and that's when we showed up Thursday night and decided it would be a great idea to do an intro for the Masquerade, because the guys from MST3K were hosting the Masquerade and we're kind of fans. So we came up with an idea for one video and produced it between Thursday and Sunday in the spare time we didn't have, because we were also all working tech staff at the convention. And then in 2003, we got it done about a week in advance. And then in 2004, we decided to do the whole 30 minutes before the Masquerade. And that took like a month and a half. And now we start coming up with ideas pretty much in like October. But we typically don't start shooting anything till, depending on the year and my work travel schedule, we'll start around March or April actually doing any kind of production, but it's sort of off and on until we hit July and August, and then we all go crazy and really start trying to produce stuff. Because it's all part-time and sort of labor of love. So yeah, we don't actually try to calculate the number of hours, because it would be depressing how many hours you work on a 30-second spoof. I've spent so much time trying to get something to fit 30 seconds. We've enjoyed it. It is interesting to see the reaction and how the idea of making silly videos turning into something that sort of ties the convention together. Because it's eaten a lot of my life and part of my basement.
Wow. Well, I can tell you firsthand that, it's definitely the best way to wait on a panelist that I think has ever been invented.
Yeah. We figured out about, I think, 2 years after we started doing it, that we were crowd control. And we sort of exploited that, because, like, the audience is trapped. And we can teach them things as well as make them laugh at stuff. And so every once in a while, we actually try to teach people how to behave at a convention. It's kind of hilarious that it works.
What can you belay any secrets of ones that are going to make their debut this year? Or
we are doing, if everything works out right. Right now, I know we're going to have one new music video. We've gotten very good at spoofing rap, and I don't know how that happened. But I have written yet another hip-hop parody.
Oh, nice.
And I know that if most people don't really have a vision of me. Even after playing in a funk band in college for 5.5 years, I'm not Caucasian, I'm translucent. And they use me to white balance the cameras when we shoot. This is just, yeah, so... The fact that I wrote I'm on a Blimp, which is our parody of I'm on a Boat, which was a parody of hip hop, if that makes any sense.
Of course. It's one of my favorites from last year.
We're going to parody a fairly well-known YouTube video, not the one from Korea, and do our own spin on it. And then if things work out really well, we'll have a second hip hop parody, but that may not actually get done until after this con, because we're just trying to get some actors from TV shows to be in it, like actual cameos.
Oh. Which
is sort of hilarious that we worked up to the point where people who have SAG cards actually wanted to be in our stuff. That started with Garrett Wong when we did our ShatWow, which was our ShamWow spoof, but it's made from recycled tribbles. But we are going to make fun of Star Trek Into Darkness. We have several bits planned for that, and I just want to warn everybody now that if you don't know the reveal, we're making fun of it a lot, so you've got till August 29th to watch the damn movie.
Or else a spoiler.
Spoilers.
If you don't see it by then and blame us for spoilers, it's your own fault.
If they go to Dragon Con and they have not seen that movie, it's their
own. If you go to Dragon Con and you haven't seen it by then, there's this thing called the internet. It's how you're hearing this show. You should look into using it to get movies, but not on my online account, because they track that stuff.
How do you decide how much new content to provide every year? I mean, I imagine you there's some clips that have become infamous that, you know, you must use every year.
Yeah, you know, that's actually, we had this discussion about 2 years ago, and I still have it. We burned a Blu-ray because, scarily enough, in 2009 or 10, we went to HD-only production for our bits.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we've been high definition for over 3 years, and we've actually turned people away in the past couple of years in the submission process because their stuff wasn't high enough quality, which we said that, and then we stopped and we're like, we make Stormtrooper videos in Brian's basement, and we're telling people that their videos aren't high enough quality to run on a hotel television network. When did this happen? It's a weird turn, but we made what we call a retirement party DVD. Or retirement party Blu-ray when we got into high definition. We piggyback it off of a staff meeting every year. We sit down, we print out a list of videos, we get a clipboard, and we get a group of people. There may be alcohol involved. We want to simulate the convention experience. And we watch all the old stuff. And we look for jokes that are out of date, or stuff that doesn't fly very well, or stuff that, you know, for whatever reason has sort of gone out of the, I'll use a big word to make it seem like it's educational, zeitgeist. And so we actually do, we have a process now, like this sort of weird sort of comedy factory. And I think of it more as like an animation and a Terry Gilliam Monty Python bit with a sausage grinder. And we actually sit there and put a lot of work into, you know, refining what we have. Does it play well in the room? Is it still relevant? Do we still make Stargate jokes? How many times can we beat up on Firefly? This kind of stuff we worry about. When it's for producing new content, it's not that we try to get a, like, it's not we say we have to have an hour's worth, or we have to have 45 minutes worth. It's whatever we have time to produce that honestly doesn't suck. We've had years where we get like halfway producing a bit and then realize this isn't funny and throw it out. Like, I have stuff I've shot and I get to editing it and I'm like, this is a horrible idea. And we throw it away because we don't have a, you know, it's like we not have to fill like Saturday Night Live. We don't have to fill an hour and a half.
Right.
Not like Matt TV when it was on, you had to fill 30 minutes. So we don't feel like we're forced to put out something, you know, we don't overproduce and then throw a lot of bad stuff on the wall and hope that it sticks, because people see this stuff and they have long memories. We still get yelled at for stuff that we put out that wasn't funny 8 years ago. And we're like, we haven't shown that bit. Like 2004, shut up about it.
Are there any clips over the last 10, 11 years now that you are surprised that have stood the test of time?
I'm going to be honest about two of them. One is Stormtroopers Gone Wild, which is honestly the first live-action video we ever made. It's the first video out of DragonCon TV that has any real people in it that were shot at the convention. We sketched that idea out. It was the first thing pitched to us. It was me and my friends, Jeff and Jeff McClure and Amy Qualls McClure. And Jeff actually was the one who spoke the word Stormtrooper Gone Wild. And we all laughed and then wrote it down. And I sketched out the video and had it pre-edited, except for the segments where there were actually Stormtroopers dancing around and acting like a Girls Gone Wild video, where they lift up their breastplates and it's got the call now block over where their, you know, mammary glands would be if they weren't clones. And spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the prequels, which if you haven't, good. And so we actually shot all that stuff like Friday night at the first big party night and then edited it together and started showing at the convention. Everything else we had done before then was, you know, animated sequences or, you know, combinations of clip art and voiceover and scrolling text. That thing we cannot get. I mean, it is still the thing that people want to see the most. And, you know, now we're going to have to pull a Lucasfilm and upgrade it to Blu-ray. And at that point, we're going to have to change all the blasters out for radios, and we're going to have to, you know, put Jar Jar Binks in it. It's going to be widescreen. No. It's going to be weird. Yeah, exactly.
No.
The second one is Soylent Green. We can make a Soylent Green joke, much like Soylent Green itself. We can recycle those. And we made a Soylent Green baby. We made a Soylent Green Atkins bar joke in 2003 or 4 that we kept using over and over again. Soylent Green Atkins bars, because 10 million New Yorkers can't be wrong, but they can't taste like crap. And then we made a Soylent Green baby food commercial, because Soylent Green is people who love your baby. That ran for about 5 years before we got rid of it. It actually is Stephen Grenade's baby is in that. That's kind of funny. And then Stephen and Alex made an upgraded version of the Soylent Green one that looks like a Monsanto commercial. Like where it's, we're improving the lives, we're feeding millions of people, and you know, Soylent Green is me, it's me. Soylent Green is people. And it's slickly produced, there's lens flare, there's crane shots, but Soylent Green is like a 1960s movie that I swear most of the people that get in Wrath of the Truck have never seen. You could show them a clip from it, and the people who are laughing at it probably would go, who's this, is that guy supposed to be telling monkeys to, you know, not take his gun away? No, that's Charlton Heston in this movie. And it, and I don't know why that gets so much play, but it's recycled humor. We're okay with that. We're environmental.
Very awesome. Very awesome. Guys, any questions for Brian?
What expanded programming are you guys going to do this year, actually?
Well, yeah, I mean, we've got the two. DragonCon TV is also kind of a weird thing because people come at it from, they know it from two different sides. One is they know it from the stuff that happens during the panels, the short content, the kind of things that the volunteers, whether they're security or video or tech, put together as comedy beforehand. And then there's the second part of it, which is the connecting the five host hotels with a private television network, which we're actually upgrading a lot of it this year to where we're going to be running about the same amount of panels, but we're actually doing everything in higher quality and with better cameras. And honestly, the whole thing's high definition until it hits the hotel, which is something that's a little scary because we haven't done that before. So it gives us a chance to kind of do a better version of the putting content in people's rooms part of the convention. Which again is one of those scary little accidents that we did. We're like, well, we've got this channel. We'll show the Masquerade to everybody so that they don't get locked out of the room. And now people prefer to watch the Masquerade in the room instead of watching it, you know, in the main ballroom, which gives it a bigger audience and people have room parties around it. And so I get yelled at if that doesn't work.
That's pretty awesome because I remember last year just – I woke up very under the weather from buckets of rum and was able to watch the John Barrowman thing without having to stand in line and such, which was awesome. You know,
the first year we did that was the William Shatner panel. The first year we really did live out-of-room broadcasts was 2009. And we had talked about doing those live broadcasts. That year, Shatner and Nimoy didn't get signed until like 3 weeks before the convention started. So my staff didn't know that they were coming because at the last staff meeting, they hadn't announced it. So we go to a director's meeting and we're like, guess who we got? And we're like, oh, great. 3, 2, 1. Oh, crap. And that was also the first year that we did the DragonCon Late Show, which if you don't know, the DragonCon Late Show is the convention's official morning show. It's at 9 o'clock every morning, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And it's me, Ali Pelfrey and Dr. Stephen Grenade, and we sit down and basically kind of go over what's going to happen during the day, what are your tips for the convention. Before the DragonCon app came out, we were the people that read schedule changes to you. It's sort of the worst of public access television, and a bunch of people looking at their iPhones for 30 minutes. Great concept. But that means that at 9 o'clock, we're in the main ballroom in the Hyatt. And then, yeah, we were William Shatner's opening act, basically. So I have done stage presentations for large corporations. I've done public access television in Atlanta. I started a cable TV station at a college. I've done radio. I'm okay with this. Stephen is a worldwide presenter on physics topics, has done theater, has, as we were discussing in the pre-show, a PhD in physics and a theater degree. He's okay talking to a few hundred or a few thousand people. Allie is an analyst for a research company who likes comic books a lot. She's used to talking to several people at a time. And so when we told her that she just volunteered for a show that would be doing its first live performance in front of 1,800 people, she had a reaction. And it took a little while for us to talk her down off of it. Now it's no big deal. I mean, after you've walked out, said your name in front of all these people, done your thing, walked away, and then realized you're 25 minutes away from William Shatner sitting in the same chair you were sitting in after it's been wiped down and, you know, cleaned. Holy crap, yeah, I can do anything now. So that was kind of a weird thing for us. It was the first year that we did the show and had, you know, that kind of gravitas come on stage after you. And also that we tested this whole, hey, we can run a live program out of this room anytime we feel like it. So when John Barrowman did it, it was old hat, except for the fact that 7 minutes into the convention, John Barrowman is mooning not only everybody in the room, but everybody watching on across 5 hotels.
And that's why we love him.
And I was standing next to Regina Kirby, who's the senior director of programming, and I pulled out, I carry a pocket watch at the convention because A, steampunk, and B, I don't wear a wristwatch. And I pulled that out and I just showed her, said, note the time, 10:07. This is when the convention went off the rails and it's Friday. And she just looked at me and left the room.
Awesome. That is really, really cool. No, you guys do such a great job. And like my son fell asleep to Dragon Con TV last year every night. And it was awesome.
I'm hoping that you're getting on one of those healthcare exchanges because I can't cover the out-of-pocket
expenses. He's seeing a therapist now, so it's okay.
Okay, good.
Do you get a chance to actually enjoy the convention? What are you looking forward to this year?
Well, I'm actually I'm really excited that George Takei is coming back.
Yay!
Here's
the fun thing is that Garrett Wong, who's become a friend of mine over the years from working the convention and his eagerness to be involved in Dragon Con TV, that Garrett does, well, first of all, Garrett has a very high regard for George Takei because George is kind of one of the reasons he's in acting today. But also, Garrett does one of the best George Takei impressions I've heard ever. And he's actually done it while George is in the room, which is always fun because you get Garrett doing it, all right, now, everybody sit down and calm down. We're going to have to start the panel now. I'm George Takei. And George will be off in the audience going, laughing at it. And then Garrett will be laughing like George is laughing, and that'll make George laugh louder, and it's a weird feedback loop. And so seeing that again should be interesting. And George is also one of those guys that I find this with a lot of people that, you know, folks that you consider to be kind of I don't want to say it like a second banana, like it's an insulting kind of thing, but like people who aren't the main stars of a show or are stars on shows that haven't made it to like a big time status. I find those people for whatever reasons have developed a more interesting personality with the fans, and they're much better to talk to. You kind of have a better fan experience when you run into them than somebody who's a little higher up the chain and might have a little bit more security or a few more agents in the way. So I've always enjoyed talking to guys like Eddie McClintock and George Takei. I had a really good conversation with Walter Koenig a few years ago. Guys that you don't know as much about, but really for whatever reason embrace the fan experience. And, you know, the last time I saw George on a panel, it was before he took over the internet. So now George Takei owns the internet and all the Facebooks and the Twitters. And so it'll be interesting to see what he brings to the convention from that experience.
Definitely, definitely. Well, we thank you again for your time. It's awesome to have you on. You guys are producing some great stuff. Now, I know that a lot of your shorts are available on the internet for people to watch and get ready for DragonCon right now. Where would that be?
Well, we've got DragonConTV.com, which is the main site. And if you're an iTunes user, if you use the podcasting feature on iTunes, you can subscribe to DragonConTV. And anytime we release a video, it'll show up in the podcast section, and you can play that as a video. But we actually have put not the entire catalog, but most of it now goes to YouTube. So DragonConTV is a user on YouTube, and we have everything organized now by playlists. And you can actually just sit down and open up a playlist. I just added a playlist called Featured, which is kind of my favorite videos, or you can look at it by year that we've posted. And just sit down, open up a playlist, and it'll run through everything from 2011 or 2012. And there actually is a sneak preview video from 2013. We've already put up, it's a spoiler, but we've put up what we found on the internet, which what we think is going to be the title of Star Wars Episode 7. Now, we have a little bit of the title crawl for that up there, so you should take a look at that and see what you think about it.
Oh, very cool, very cool. Anything outside of DragonCon that you want to promote?
Oh, dear Lord. The convention now has... Well, Video Dragon Con, which is the channel that we started to put up convention highlights. So again, Dragon Con TV is the crazy entertainment part. Video Dragon Con is interviews with guests, panels. We have some exclusive interviews that haven't made it to any of the DVDs or weren't shown at the convention. You can watch the entire parade from the past 2 or 3 years on there. Unfortunately, with all of my commentary, but you know, it's free, so you can't argue too much. I'm on What the Cast with Steven and Crispy and Patrick Jarrett, who are all DragonCon TV contributors. That's whatthecast.com. And that's a general kind of nerd culture podcast we've been doing for about 6 years. I'm sorry. I have to say it now, Parsec Award-winning podcast. The people at DragonCon will get mad if I don't mention the Parsec Awards.
Very cool.
Everything else. I mean, I write a blog called Silicon Chef, which is just my... I travel a lot for work. I do way too many PowerPoint presentations, so I have opinions about PowerPoint. And if anybody cares about those, they're at siliconchef.com.
Well, very cool. Well, make sure you send us the links to those, and we'll put them up on our show notes.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Thanks.
Well, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Brian. We loved having you on the station. So, and that it actually wraps up our DragonCon report number 5. I want to thank everybody who was involved with this show, starting with Brian Richardson, and then also, of course, Dr. Q and Tallulah Love. But I also want to thank, of course, my co-hosts. Mary, thanks again for joining us. What's your next show going to be?
Oh, my next convention is, I don't think I'll be anywhere until Comic-Con in San Diego, actually.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the other big dance, right?
Yeah, I'm really excited. This will be my second year going, so I know a little bit better, like, you know, what to expect and what I'm going to want to do and all that kind of stuff. So if you're out there, come find me and say hi. I'm sure I'll just be, you know, wandering around in the exhibition hall, awed by everything.
Yeah, I know. I will be there as well. And it's that's a different show. We could go on talking about that for 5 more specials. So
yeah, no kidding.
So, Darren, thanks again. And are you going to be at Heroes this year?
I probably will not make it to Heroes this year.
I'm sorry?
Schedule's a little crazy so at work. So my next con is the Dragon. Yes, indeed.
Awesome, awesome. Mike, thanks again for, just for making this possible, man.
Hey, my pleasure. You know, I put the coins in the slots and this is what happens.
And your next show, of course, we're coming off of a big convention weekend for ESO. I was at the Alabama Phoenix Fest. You were at TimeGate. We just did an ESO episode about it. If you have not checked out that episode, please do so, because we had a lot of fun. Mike, you even got a chance to talk to a doctor.
Yes, I got to talk to Colin Baker himself. And he actually, for such a sarcastic bastard of a doctor, he was really awesome.
That's very cool. What's your next show?
Looks like probably going to be DragonCon.
Awesome.
You know, just with all family vacations and a lot of different stuff with ESO going on right now, I don't think I really have much time for much cons. And, you know, I need to save up for Dragon Con anyway.
That's true. That's absolutely true. Well, I will be able to spend one day at Heroes Con. That would be Saturday the 8th. So anybody out there who wants to talk Dragon Con or anything else for that matter, please send me an email or hook me up on Facebook. So I'd love to visit with you. And then I'll be at San Diego as well. And then August 3rd and 4th, I'll be at the rescheduled Boston Comic Con. I'm looking forward to that. So, but all of it is in preparation, of course, for Dragon Con. So once again, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll see you at Dragon Con. I said, hey, little girl, what do you do? I've been waiting all week for something like you. Cause it's Friday night, and everybody's in the street. I say, come on, come on, come on, come on with me. Hey. It's a party weekend. Gonna be some rock and roll, eh? Everybody's gonna get you. It's a party, party. Thursday's the first day, Friday's great, cause I can hardly wait until the weekend. I should be clocking in at 8, but I'm a little late. Can't pay my baby cause I'm too old a day. 3 till 10 and then it's Friday again. Here come the weekend. Here come the weekend.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.